And tonight on Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Brian Weiss joins us. His latest work, Miracles Happen, The Transformational Healing Power of Past Life Memories. I'm really looking forward to this. Dr. Brian Weiss, of course, has been on Coast to Coast before and always gets incredible reviews. Back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. As a traditional psychotherapist, Dr. Brian Weiss, astonished, skeptical when one of his patients began recalling past life traumas that seemed to hold the key to her recurring nightmares and anxiety attacks. His skepticism was eroded when she began to channel messages from Space Between Lives, which contained some remarkable revelations of the Weiss family and their deceased son. Using some past life therapy, he was able to cure the patient, embarking on a new, more meaningful phase of his own career. Welcome back, Dr. Brian Weiss. If we had an audience here, they'd be applauding your return, Brian. How are you?
Thank you, George. I'm fine.
Always a pleasure. So many people. So wherever I go, the various events all around the country, people always bring up your name. You've developed quite a reputation doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And you've been doing this now for how long?
32 years in this lifetime. That was my first patient, Catherine, the one you were describing a moment ago. And that was in 1980, 81, when doing the work with her. And since that time, I've worked with several thousand more people in my office, but many, many more in groups all over the planet, doing these past life regressions and teaching meditation and deeper states of consciousness. It's been extremely exciting to me because I still... I'm amazed hearing these stories, watching people change, watching them heal, be transformed. The power of the mind, it's a real blessing to me to be able to do this over so many years.
Tell us about Catherine, since you brought her up.
She was the very first person that I worked with. I didn't believe in any of this, not in past lives or reincarnation. I was a very conservative psychiatrist and chairman of a psychiatry department in Miami, and professor of psychiatry at the University of Miami. So I started seeing her. She was referred to me for phobias, panic attacks, anxieties, depression, and she wouldn't take any medicine because she had a lifelong fear of gagging or choking. So I'd used traditional psychotherapy. I'd been trained in that manner also. But after a year or so, she wasn't really making much progress this way, and I wanted to use hypnosis, which is just a form of focusing the concentration. It's very safe. And it's used all the time.
Sure.
To help her memory, because I felt that there were childhood traumas or incidents that could be causing her symptoms. She had some gaps in her memory for her childhood. Eventually, she let me do this. She had some apprehensions, but what erased her apprehension was going to Chicago and visiting the King Tut exhibit that was touring the country at that time. And she started to correct the museum guide about everyday Egyptian artifacts. But she was a laboratory technician in the hospital where I was chairman of psychiatry, not a historian. She never studied Egyptology. And here she knew all of this, but didn't know where she had learned it. Turned out from past lives, but neither she nor I believed in it at that time. So she let me use the concentration techniques, the hypnosis. We went back to her childhood, found some really important events in her childhood, but her symptoms remained severe. The next week when she came in, thinking that I'd have to go younger, she went to about age 5, and I thought, well, maybe 4 or 3. So I told her, when she was in this deeper state of consciousness, to go back to the time where her symptoms first began, thinking she'd go to early childhood. But her subconscious mind, and I've learned over the years that this is how the subconscious works, taking this instruction literally, went back nearly 4,000 years into an ancient Near Eastern lifetime where she had a different body and a different name, and she drowned in a flood or tidal wave in that lifetime, her baby being torn from her arms by the force of the water, but she didn't have any children in her present life. And I knew this was not like her. She wasn't prone to fantasy. She wasn't psychotic or delusional. It was very unusual, very detailed, and also very emotional. And so after remembering this ancient lifetime, and then she floated above it and had the light, met the light, the transitional person, the classic near-death experience type of, except this was an after-death experience.
Well, let me ask you for a second, Brian. This experience that they have, what creates it in terms of having the ability to remember it? I mean, obviously, the physical brain that they had is gone. How does it stay with them?
I'm not sure exactly where the memories are stored. There have been experiments, some research in this. Certainly, in Canada, Wilder Penfield years ago did research where he was stimulating part of the temporal lobes and people would remember past lives. But clearly, it's not stored just in the brain. So it has to be in this energy field that we all are part of, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it the aura or the energetic field or this kind of thing that is not just confined to the physical body. We know that consciousness is not confined to the physical body. There's so much good research in this area. And so it's stored somehow that way, and the body almost becomes a template when it's being formed. And these memories are there. Often there are scars. For example, at the site of previous mortal wounds, and Ian Stevenson, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Virginia, did a lot of research with childhood birthmarks and these little, not scars, birthmarks more so, at the site of previous mortal wounds. And he really tied this up in a highly statistically significant correlated way that it was connected to past lives. And so the memory comes in that manner, not totally confined to the brain, because consciousness is bigger than that. We use it as healers, as physicians, not just for validating, but for healing. So Catherine, this woman who drowned 4,000 years ago, her lifelong fear of gagging or choking and of deep water disappeared when she remembered this ancient lifetime.
Why is it the memory that makes them forget the fear?
Nobody knows for sure. There are different ways of looking at it, but it's very similar in my way of thinking to what psychotherapy or psychoanalysis does. That when in psychoanalysis, you take someone back to childhood and they remember traumas with emotion, which therapists call catharsis or abreaction. And when they remember these incidents, these traumas, the symptoms diminish, often disappearing. I think it's the same thing with past lives, except the arena is larger. So instead of stopping at infancy, we go back into in utero and into past lifetimes as well. The healing process is very similar to traditional psychotherapy.
What was it about this case, Brian, that literally got you to change your entire direction of your career?
Well, it was the power of it. It took more for me, as you were mentioning in the beginning, because I was so close-minded. And this is not a very scientific attitude to take. It's better to be open-minded,
right,
and to be accessible to new knowledge, new learning. So what happened, Catherine was getting better. I knew this was something very powerful. It was not like her to hallucinate or be delusional. This was not imaginary. And yet, I had trouble wrapping my mind around this because I was so skeptical and so left-brain. About the fourth or fifth session, and she's getting better. Her symptoms are melting away. She's remembering other traumas, and she's getting better. Clearly, she believes in this because it's so real and powerful to her. And she floated above her body. She's floating in this space in between lifetimes. And she told me there were two people there to see me, my father and my son. She knew nothing about me. I don't even have diplomas hanging in my office.
Or you can read them.
Yeah, nothing. And that's one theory of, again, psychoanalysis. The less the patient knows about you, the better. So no diplomas. She's a laboratory technician, not an FBI agent, not an investigative reporter. And this is before the internet. This is around 1980. And she tells me my father is there and my son. And she goes on to describe specific, very private details of their lives and their deaths. My father had died 2 years before this was occurring with Catherine, of a heart attack. And she's telling me that, and she tells me his name, his nickname. She tells me that my daughter is named after him, and my daughter was born about 6 months before this was happening with Catherine and was named after him. And then she started talking about my first son, who had died as an infant of a very rare congenital cardiac illness called total anomalous pulmonary venous drainage. What that is, the blood vessels from the heart to the lungs and back are reversed. So it's like flowing backwards. And she told me that this little baby died because his heart was backwards, which functionally was exactly correct.
Nobody would know that.
No. It wasn't written anywhere. Our best friends didn't know it. There was no obituary, no place to look it up. And she knew other details, too. But this was so exact and so private.
That would do it to you.
That did it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, another patient came in, and more these things happened. I've called it miracles happen, but I think it's really, we just don't have all of the descriptive tools yet, but this is how life works here. It's so much more than meets the eye.
And Brian, when you talk about miracles happen, what do miracles mean to you?
That's a good question. I was just thinking about this. Miracles to me are things where I don't have a scientific explanation for it. I know that it's a very broad way of talking about miracles. Some people think, well, miracles are when something divine happens or hand reaches down from heaven, but I think to me it's where I don't have the scientific explanation, or people don't have it yet, and yet these things do happen. It can be spontaneous healing. It can be, which is always very dramatic, by the way, when we see that happen. It can be messages that people get from the other side where you know that this is so exact and so real, and it may be coming from someone who had died, a loved one, a relative. How do they do that? How does the brain work that way, like a radio receiver or something, tuning into these higher vibrations? So I call it a miracle, but I know that in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever, we're going to have scientific explanations. So this is why I'm still refining that in my way of thinking. I know that, for example, I've debated with skeptics many times, and one of the metaphors that I use is blowing a dog whistle. If I'm debating a skeptic and I blow a dog whistle, they would say, "See, I told you it doesn't work." And they would leave, and yet 50 dogs would come running at the door as soon as it was opened. And it's because the spectrum of the range, hearing range, is different for dogs and people. Whistle works at a higher frequency. We know how that is now, but it must be like a miracle, or a television.
That's right.
Would be a miracle to people 200 years ago, 100 years ago.
I think, Brian, the radio is a miracle.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, you've got these sound waves beaming all over the place, but as soon as you have that receiver, all these incredible things come through.
Exactly.
You know, it's the same thing that I think is happening to people. Whoop. You still there? Yep, we've lost him. So let's get our friend Tom in here, and we will call you right back. Well, that was gone just like that. Dr. Brian Weiss with us, and we'll get him right back. Anyways, we're talking about his book, Miracles Happen, The Transformational Healing Power of Past Life Memories. And it's interesting how when they get into something pretty fascinating and controversial, they simply disappear, and then they are gone. So hopefully we'll get him back, and as soon as we do, we'll pop him on. If not, then we have a program of open lines. It's simple as that. That was one of the weirdest sounds I think I've ever heard. So that is much more than a disconnect somewhere. I think maybe his phone is dead or something like that. Or maybe he's on one of those powerless phones and his batteries went out. To be on the safe side, if you want to get into open lines, maybe we shall try that, because I don't know if we're going to get him back or not, folks. And it's too bad, because he was right in the middle of something pretty interesting. Let me give you the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800. Oh, you got him, Tom? Okay, great. Brian, you're back with us.
Cell phone here.
Whoa. You there?
Yeah, better on the other number.
Yeah, we're going to have to try that after the break, okay?
Okay.
Tom tells me
it's... You want me to call you?
No, we'll get you back, but Tom tells me it's busy. The other line is, okay? Well, the one you're on is not that much better. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to try something else, Brian, because it's not going to work.
Now, I have another landline. I can call you
on that. I'm going to put you on hold. Tom will take it, and we'll figure out what it is, and we'll try to get that. Well, now Tom is telling me another line. There you go. Are you on this one?
Yes.
Okay. The miracles. I don't know. What happened to that first one?
Well, I think we were talking about radio.
And poof, off you went.
And it went right off.
Synchronicity.
Yeah.
A talk show host's nightmare, Brian.
I know.
Doing this great interview with this phenomenal guest, and poof, he's gone. In the beginning. If it's at the end, I can do my song and dance routine.
Right.
But anyways, let's get back into this with the miracles that happen.
Yes.
That there's something out there. We both agree with that. And you were telling me how people are skeptical at first. Do they change much, the skeptics?
They do. If I get a chance to talk to them and to explain things, the ones who are more intelligent do. I remember being on a television show with Carl Sagan, the astronomer, and he was a skeptic. He was on. We were talking about past lives and reincarnation, but he didn't know anything about that. He got confused even why he was on there. So I had to point out to Carl Sagan that a skeptic, in the Greek sense of the word, means someone who offers alternative explanations for things, for phenomena. Could it be this? Could it be that? Something else. Not someone who comes in with his mind already made up or preformed opinions, uninformed opinions. And once we talked about that, he was so much better asking really good questions.
Yeah, he sure was. Now, tell me a little bit about some of the examples in Miracle Happens where you describe some many cases that are pretty darn emotional.
Yeah, the more emotion, often there's more hearing and healing. And of course, as a psychiatrist, I deal with that a lot. But sometimes the miracles, I'll talk as medical healing and emotional healing, physical healing. For example, one case was very simple. A woman who had severe psoriasis, a skin condition. Many, I'm sure most people know what that is. The skin can be red and raw, and it's very a very damaging and dangerous condition in many cases. And she recalled a past life in which she was burned at the stake as a witch during the Inquisition. So this is several hundred years ago. And she had been bound and tied to the stake with rope, particularly around her legs, where her psoriasis was the worst. And when she remembered that past life, and she remembered it with emotion, and not with pain. I have people just floating above and watching it because I don't want anyone to suffer. It's not about that. And people don't. They can remember watching it from a distance. That's how these memories work. But after that, her psoriasis completely disappeared. It's healed. And it's been several years now with no psoriasis. And this was a woman plagued by that illness for many years. So that kind of thing to her is a miracle. How could that be? A memory from the Inquisition 500 years ago, and her psoriasis clears up completely. But that's how this can work.
That's pretty dramatic. Brian, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. Dr. Brian Weiss, our guest. BrianWeiss.com is his website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We are talking about miracles. Later on, when we start taking your phone calls, I'd like for you to share some of those miracle stories for us as well. I'm sure you will have many, so get ready for that. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about souls, why they reincarnate, if you believe they do. Well, every Wednesday, a Coast to Coast listener simply sounds off talking about things that they find important. And you can, too. Simply send an editorial mission to your name, phone number, to whatyouthinkeditorial@AOL.com. That's whatyouthinkeditorial@AOL.com. Submit your email, your story, what you want to sound off about, and we'll get back to you and possibly record you, as you'll hear sometime tomorrow night. Welcome back. Dr. Brian Weiss with us. Brian, take us through a regression performance. What happens? How do you do it? How do you know they're in that mode?
What I do is I put people into a very relaxed state. Their eyes are closed. I'm talking to them, relaxing all the muscles, slowing down their breathing,
And as people get into these deeper states, then I start describing how I would like them to approach whatever journey we're going on. If we're going back in time, once they reach the very relaxed, stress-free, deeper state, I'll say, in a few moments, I'm going to count down from 5 to 1, and let yourself remember a childhood memory. I start going to childhood and earlier, and then to past lives. And the first thought, images, scenes, whatever sense they use, hearing, taste, sight, that comes into their mind, they stay with that, paying attention to any details. It's very simple to do that, and about 90% of people or more will have childhood memories. And then we'll go further back. And if I'm going to a past life, I'll be counting down again and have a door opening or traveling across a little bridge or an elevator, whatever the mechanism for going backwards in time. And then when I reach a certain number, I have them look at their feet, because that seems to be a very grounding technique, and observe what they're wearing on their feet, shoes, sandals, boots, military, non-military, nothing at all, just the skin or feet sometimes. And basically that's it. It takes longer in this gentle going back through the through time. It can take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but about 80% of people will then be able to have some sort of past life experience.
How do we know, Brian, that they don't have some kind of vivid memory or recollection as opposed to truly a past life?
Well, they can, George. Sometimes it's difficult to tell in the beginning what's metaphor or symbol or imagination or fantasy or actual memory. Often there are clues if they know something that they've never, ever studied or come across. For example, I have a woman who came to my office from Beijing, China, a surgeon, her first visit outside of China, and she came with an interpreter. I often work with interpreters, and she's speaking in Chinese. It's getting interpreted into English, and we're doing a regression. She goes back to around the year 1850.
Okay.
She's having an argument with her husband, living in Northern California, and she begins to speak in very fluent and colorful English. She's having an argument. It's in 1850 in California. The translator, not realizing at first what's happening, he translates the whole thing back into Chinese for me, but I don't need it.
You don't need it at all. you are fine.
I was fine. And once I told him to stop, that I understood the English, he nearly fainted, because he realized that she was speaking a language that 30 minutes previously she didn't understand at all.
Wow.
And that's called xenoglossy, speaking foreign languages.
Xenoglossy?
With an X-E-N-O from the Greek. Xenoglossy, speaking foreign languages that you never learned or studied. And then, when these things happen, then you know it's more than imagination or fantasy.
Does that happen a lot, the ability to speak these languages?
Not too often.
Not too
that
often.
One is okay. Not too often. More often that people will remember a social security number or a dog tag number from World War II or something like that and find the person that they're remembering. We have that. That happens more often. But sometimes when these things happen and you know that there's no way they pick that up in a movie or overhearing a neighbor or on television, then you know that it's not imagination. For me, as a clinician, when I see these memories, healing symptoms, like the woman's psoriasis that we talked about before the break.
Yeah, that was strange.
Yeah, and that, you know, imagination doesn't cure symptoms. Not like that. And I see that a lot. You know, someone will have a vivid memory of being speared in the back. Actually, this is a true story of a radiologist patient of mine who had chronic back pain, and he had to take medicine, which he really didn't like taking because it made his mind a little bit fuzzy. And yet he had been to orthopedic surgeons and others without any help. When he remembered being lanced in the back in the Middle Ages battle, his back pain entirely disappeared and has never returned. So, and this is not a person prone to fantasy or imagination, a very solid radiologist, very left brain, very bright guy, that was not going to suggest the healing, that was not going to work. And yet, when he had this memory of the Middle Ages battle, his back pain disappeared.
What is it about the regression, Dr. Weiss, that allows them, once they get into this, to not have the pain when they get out of it?
I think it's the same thing as we talked about before. It's just like in psychotherapy. When you remember it, it seems to have some sort of clearing or healing effect. This happens with phobias, too, with other symptoms, not just physical symptoms. That once you remember it, it seems to dissipate, to disappear, and it can be very, very rapid. A phobia may disappear in one session or two. You know, a fear of heights and you were thrown off a castle wall in the 14th century, then that fear will disappear. Some of it is just realizing, oh, that's happened before. It's of the past, not of the future. And they stop worrying about it so much. I've seen that a lot. Along the way, George, it's very interesting because people then, even if they're healing a back pain or a phobia, they'll realize, wait a minute, that was me in the 14th century or the 17th century. And now I'm here now in the 21st century. So who am I really? Am I that person? Am I this person? And they're starting to get a little glimpse of the nature of consciousness and of the soul, that it's much bigger than just the physical body, much more to it. So grief starts to disappear and fear of death starts to diminish. And a lot of other benefits happen. For example, in relationships, you find you were with some people before.
I'm convinced that all the friends we have in this current life, we were part of in our previous lives, in some form or fashion.
I agree with you.
All of them.
All the time.
You know, your daughter, your granddaughters, your friends, all of you were there. You know, different roles, perhaps, but you were all thrown in together.
Yes, and different bodies. Yeah, that's your right. Granddaughter may have been your
uncle,
great-grandmother.
Yeah.
But here she is back again, the same soul. And yet different bodies. And this explains feelings of comfort or familiarity at first sight, love at first sight, these kinds of things, because you kind of recognize the person again, the soul. They feel somewhat familiar to you. And I think that comes from past lives also.
That's a good point. It really is. Do you think these past lives are so numerous that everybody has had one?
Pretty much here I do, on this planet. To me, and this gets into my cosmology, that to me, the Earth is just one school of many schools. Maybe it's like a junior high school.
Maybe.
High school. But it's not the only place where souls live. That's why, for example, we can't just count numbers and say, well, there are more physical bodies than ever before. Where do the souls come from? They come from everywhere. Physical dimensions, non-physical dimensions, souls can split and have simultaneous experiences. So there are lots of explanations for that. And I find that we've been together with so many of our family, friends, other people over many lifetimes that probably in a junior high school, people are, they've been here for a while. They're not just originating here.
What does this tell you about reincarnation, assuming it's real, that it does happen, on why it happens?
I think it's how we learn here. I think that there's too much to learn in one life. We have to learn about compassion.
Too many mistakes made.
Too many mistakes. So many people live a brief life, leave early, never had a chance to really learn these lessons. And the soul, then, which is, if you think of it as energy or consciousness or something like that, that's not confined to the physical body. So it seems to exist before we're born, and when we die physically, we leave the body, consciousness goes on, floats above. There you have the near-death experience, the after-death experience, and goes on. And so coming back into a physical body is not the most difficult thing in the world. All of nature is resurrection, and so many people have written about this and described it over the centuries. I think that's how it works here. We need multiple lifetimes to learn these lessons, to get it right.
How do you document a past life? How can you prove that to somebody?
Well, again, it's not going to be the kind of DNA testing that many people look for.
Right.
You can't do that with past lives. So we document it clinically, just like the whole field of psychoanalysis was documented clinically. of psychotherapy clinically. You don't have a blood test or a chromosome test for it. So when we find people speaking foreign languages, when we find them knowing historical facts and details that they never studied, never learned, never even came across, when they may know the intricate details, and this is a case from Miracles Happen Too, of a minister from New York who, visiting an Essene community in near Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, he was able to, first time ever there, describe the whole community, the archaeology, the digs, what happened, where they ate, where they studied, where the library was, had never been there before in this life.
In this life. So he went all the way back to the time of the Essenes?
When he was there, he had a kind of deja vu regression. It's not a hypnotic regression where he was seeing me or another therapist. Just being in the geographical place where he had lived before, that brought out the memories.
Brian, by meditating, can somebody do this on their own and go, you know, way back and see where they may have come from?
Absolutely, yes. Many cultures in India, there are forms of meditation where they just go back in time and back into past lives. I had an experience myself through meditation that proved to me that that's another way of experiencing past lives and other mystical states, because in meditation, you're quieting your mind, you're going into deeper levels. And so whenever you go into that state, these memories are accessible, as are other conditions. So yes, meditation is a way, George. Sometimes in dreams, a person may have a dream of being in a past life, and that's not necessarily a Freudian metaphor or distortion. Actually, sometimes past life memory fragments emerge in the dream. So dreams are another way, meditation, spontaneously, deja vu. I had a woman patient who, when she was first married, and this was years before, went on her honeymoon to Greece with her new husband, and she started having panic attacks. She couldn't take it.
Those are the worst, aren't they?
They're terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. And she made him leave and with her, and they went to Italy, to Rome, and she was fine. No panic attack. So
all right, something happened in Greece a long time ago.
Exactly. It wasn't the husband. See, as a psychiatrist, that might have been my first thought.
Yeah.
So, yes, husband, new marriage. No, it was Greece, and it turned out we did a regression. She was killed in ancient Greece, and when she remembered that, she understood why she was having panic attacks there and why nothing in Rome. She was absolutely fine, and it was that, and she was in the geographical area again, having those deja vus. Now, we can call that miracles or not miracles because we're still learning the whole fundamental nature of what are past life memories? How does the soul work? Why do we come here? Do souls exist in other dimensions or planets or galaxies or universes? All of these questions we still have to understand and to master, but can you go into the future? We talked about that on the last show. These kinds of questions are very good questions, but I think it always gets back to the nature of the soul, and that's what we're talking about now. So, miracles, yes, and in Miracles Happen, I talk about a lot of these healings and a lot of the benefits that people can gain when they remember past lives. But I think that we have these little miracles all the time. We don't always know what they are. We call them spontaneous healings. We call them placebo effect. We have numerous names for these little miracles, but we're very much aware that life is so much more complex than we think.
What percent of people who have illnesses truly could attribute them to past life problems? They just don't know it.
It's a large percentage. I don't have an exact percentage. We're still in the infancy of this sort of field. Concepts of reincarnation are ancient, but using it as a healing and doing this kind of regression therapy or past life therapy, that's much newer. But it's a large percentage because when we start doing this and looking at it, we find that even if there are current life factors that may exacerbate it or bring it on, you often still find past life connections. Another example would be allergies. One case, Miracles Happen, is of a woman who in this current life almost died several times, having a severe allergic reaction to cumin, which is a spice and put in many foods.
Which I love. That's yeah, where we get turmeric from.
It really is very important spice and makes food very tasty, and you get it. You know, people put it in restaurants and in your food. But for her, she was severely allergic. She had to go to the ER several times. Her life nearly ended several times, and she found that she was killed with cumin in a prior lifetime. It had been used she had inadvertently been overdosed on it in that past life and died. And that was to deal with pregnancy. I think it was used for pregnancy in those earlier years.
And by the way, I said cumin is part of turmeric. It's curry that's part of turmeric.
Right.
Cumin's its own thing.
Its own thing.
Yeah, okay.
But the allergy disappeared when she remembered that past life. And that's fascinating to me, because here's a life-threatening allergy. Even small amounts, inadvertently in a restaurant somewhere, maybe the chef didn't know exactly what was in the spices that they were using.
That's true.
The food. And here, remembering that past life, and it used to be used for pregnancy and symptoms of pregnancy, and that she was overdosed in that past life. It was an accidental death. Now she's back, but still her body, in some way, was reacting to the cumin, and now she's fine. She can eat it, no problem at all. No visits to the emergency room in several years. And so I call this miracle. How does a past life memory cure such a serious, life-threatening allergic disorder?
Truly amazing. Now, there's no way modern medicine would understand this. No way.
No. And it's also speaking of the mind-body connection and the immune system, and we have so much more to learn about this. But also, to me, this is very safe. And sometimes I have, issues with traditional medicine, because here's a very safe technique. It's very safe to have a past life memory. Nothing's going to happen in an adverse way. It can only be healing. It doesn't require medication, surgery, threatening interventions. It's a very gentle, simple approach. And why not use that and see if that can heal people, which it often does. And you can do this not instead of traditional medicine. You can do it along with. You can do it as a kind of complementary thing, in addition to, with. And it's a battle that I've been having with some in the psychiatric community, because I see the effects. I see it all the time. I see these healings, these things that, and I'll speak with someone and they'll say, oh, that's just the placebo effect. We know about that. And I'll say, are you kidding me? A placebo effect? That the person can take a sugar pill and get rid of serious depression or some other illness? This is the mind at work. And and these uncovering these past life roots or causes can be a very effective way to bring about healing in the present life.
Brian, a lot of people want to know about animals, whether they have souls. Let's talk about that and some more issues when we come back as we talk about miracles happen. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.